halfway. We'll get this right yet. We'll get this right yet. Thanks very much. Again, I want to emphasize before I start tonight, just bring it down slightly, Mark, that in this series of talks, what in this broken world is happening, I stressed last week that I will at times give my opinion. I really don't give a monkey's whether you agree with my opinion or not. It will be my opinion, and you might have a different opinion. You'll be wrong. But I will say what I've got to say, and people will be offended. But that's just the way it's going to be. And tonight, there is no doubt, people will be offended. But I'm not going to apologize, certainly, from God's words point of view. So let's just pray and ask for God's help in this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we turn to your word again tonight. As we look at this subject, what in this broken world is happening, we know, Lord God, that we have to turn to you. Because, Lord, this world is set aside for judgment by fire. The only fire escape is Jesus Christ, your Son. And we pray tonight that as we look at subjects, Lord God, that are affecting people in this world, sometimes we know they're affecting us, and other times we are just slowly lulled into not realizing they're affecting us. We pray that your word would do its work, and that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word, and open our ears to hear what you're saying to us tonight, please, so that we are not going to be lulled by a false sense of security, that we're not going to be duped, Lord God, by this subject tonight. But Lord, that you will help us, please, to know what you're saying to us, in Jesus' name. Okay, last week I began our series, What in This Broken World's Happening, looking at the issue of climate change and how that actually affects you. Now, whether you agree with climate change or not, and I'm not really bothered by it either way, if it's happening or not, but Sir David Attenborough, he said these words, "Climate change is humanity's greatest threat in thousands of years and could lead to the collapse of civilizations and the extinction of much of the natural world." And then the 16-year-old Swedish climate change activist, Greta Thunberg, you might have seen her on the news, she said, "We all need to listen to the scientists, or by 2030, it's the end of our civilization as we know it." They're a real barrel of laughs, as I said last week, these two. Humanity's greatest threat in thousands of years, climate change, could lead to the collapse of civilizations and the extinction of much of the natural world, and we need to listen to the scientists, or by 2030, it's the end of our civilization as we know it. However, no matter what scientists or anyone else says about fixing our broken world, it can't be fixed. God himself cannot fix it, which is why he has said it is reserved for judgment by fire. Now, of course, we should take heed of what certain scientists say and try to be good stewards of God's earth to help prevent environmental and ecological disasters. But we mustn't be fooled into believing that we can fix this broken world. We can't. This broken world is doomed for destruction. I'm going to read this evening from a very famous passage, Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to read the first 14 verses this evening. Matthew chapter 24. "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.' Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Do you hear that tonight? Just stop here for a second. What's happening in the last days will have such an impact upon Christians that it says the love of many will grow cold. I wonder if you could do a thermo check on your love for Jesus tonight. Is it warmer today than when it was when you first knew Jesus? Or is it growing cold when you look at what's going on in this world? And because of lawlessness, and because the lawlessness rather will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Jerusalem in the days of Jesus was a very, very beautiful city. Its centerpiece was the Jewish temple. Nowadays, if you go for a panoramic view of Jerusalem, it's blighted by the hideous scene of Islamic mosques. The disciples, most of whom were Galilean fishermen or from the Galilean region, they would have only traveled up to Jerusalem on certain occasions for the big events, the big festivals. So they weren't always there. And they were really impressed by what they saw. And as they walked with Jesus out of the temple towards the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus loved to go, and they got to the foot of the Mount of Olives, they remarked on the splendor of the temple. And myself and Keith, you know, we were there, and other people, Cyril was there, and Sandra and Tom and all, they were there last year, and you can see that panoramic view, you know, when you're on the foot of the Mount of Olives, or as you're going up at the foot of the Mount of Olives is the Kidron Valley and the Garden of Gethsemane, and then you sort of head on up. But when you stop and you look around and you see that panoramic view of Jerusalem, it's absolutely beautiful, except for those hideous mosques. But it's beautiful. But to the surprise of the disciples who saw the splendor of Jerusalem and the temple, Jesus foretold its destruction and the time of trouble that would come upon the whole city. And less than 40 years later, in AD 70, the Roman leader Titus completely desecrated the temple and decimated Jerusalem, killing many, many people. Now, Jesus had given his disciples this foreknowledge, not to satisfy their curiosity when they said, when will all of these things be? It wasn't to satisfy their curiosity. Jesus had given this foreknowledge to his disciples to help them prepare for the terrible events that were to come. Do you hear that? Jesus gave the foreknowledge to help his disciples prepare for the terrible events that were to come. Do you know that it's believed that many Christians escaped this destruction because they had been forewarned? Now, I don't know about you, but if you were a Christian living in Israel at the time or living in Jerusalem at the time, I'm sure you would have tried to warn others of the imminent judgment that was coming, the destruction that was coming, the terrible threat that hung over the whole region. You would have wanted to warn your loved ones. You would have wanted to warn your friends and your neighbors. You would have wanted as many people as possible to listen to you so that they wouldn't perish. Why do you think the people didn't listen when warned of imminent danger? Well, I'm going to put to you some suggestions. Again, hear this. Why do you think the people didn't listen when warned of imminent danger? Well, I suggest they didn't believe there was actually a threat or that it would affect them if there was a threat. And I suggest that just like Lot's sons-in-laws, when he warned them of the imminent danger, They actually thought that Lot was joking. I'm sure if you've read your Bible, you'll have read that. That when Lot warned them, telling them that the angels who had taken Lot and the wife and said, get out, and his two daughters, get out of the city of Sodom, that when he went to the sons-in-laws to tell them, we need to get out of here now, there is a judgment about to fall on the city, they thought he was joking. People don't believe there's a threat. People don't believe there's a coming judgment. I would also suggest that some of the people living in Jerusalem at the time listened to those in authority. Because people in authority know best. Isn't that right? We know that. People in authority know best. And so they listened to those in authority who told them, there is no threat. There is no threat. I suggest they listen to some of the local know-it-alls and the journalists or the media of the day. In fact, the headline of the Jerusalem Post in AD 70 probably read, Titus, not a threat, peace in our time. Titus, not a threat, peace in our time. How foolish of those people not to heed the warnings. People living in the days of Jesus or in AD 70 are actually no different to the people who are alive today. And the people alive today are no different to the people in Jesus' day. You see, those who have a basic understanding, and I'm just talking about a basic understanding of the Bible and its content, you know that often when we read about events in Bible history, that they are types and shadows of things that are to come. And so I often said that what you find in the Old Testament is a shadow and a type of things that would be fulfilled in the New Testament. But also these things are shadows and types of things that are still to come in our world. And some people believe that the destruction in Jerusalem in AD 70 was a forerunner of a potential last days event when United Nations will join forces against Israel. Now I wonder if this event unfolded in our day, would we take note of Jesus' warning? If the nations started to come up against Israel and all the news and whatever it spouted, at 6 o'clock news, would we believe it? All the headlines and the Sun and everything else, would we believe it? Or would we take heed of Jesus' warning? I wonder what the media headlines would be if such an event was to occur. Mark was praying in the early prayer meeting about the past number of days, the many hundreds of rockets that have been fired into Israel just in the past few days. And anybody who knows, if you want to know what's happening in God's calendar, you keep your eye on Israel. Because just one event in Israel could trigger the end of the world. That's how simple it is. Now God is gracious, and we know that God says that he would that none would perish, and he's patient for people to repent. But one simple event in the Middle East could trigger the end of the world. Would we believe the media? Or would we listen to the warnings given by God? Excuse me. Would we believe the media? Or would we listen to the warnings given by God? Now, if I were to ask you that tonight, most of you are going to be very religious. And you say, of course I would listen to the warnings of God. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. What in this broken world is happening? My subject tonight is one that is close to the heart of the most powerful man on this planet. Fake news. Fake news is one of President Donald Trump's favorite sayings. If he's unhappy about what's being said about him or about his administration, he just calls it fake news, and he gets on with doing what he's doing. Now, although the term fake news is relatively new, it actually originates from a wee place called Veils, a small town in Macedonia. It started about 2016 through the internet. And fake news, though, is not a new phenomenon. Fake news used to be called propaganda. And it was used always to exaggerate stories, whether true or false, to spread wrong and or to spread malicious information, especially of a biased or misleading nature, used to promote political or other points of views or causes. Fake news, propaganda, is nothing new. So, take for example the BBC. Now, I love watching the BBC at 6 o'clock in the morning. I love watching the BBC News in the mornings. I can't stand it at 6 o'clock at night. But I love it at 6 o'clock in the morning. But I'm not stupid enough to believe everything that they tell me or the stories that they cover. To some, the BBC is the biased broadcasting corporation. Because some people feel their stories are often biased and slanted in a particular way. And I'm one of the sad individuals who sit and watch and say, that's slanted, to email off to the producer straight away and say, why have you said this? Why have you done this? This is wrong. And that's why people like me think sometimes it's called the Biased Broadcasting Corporation rather than the British Broadcasting Corporation. Take, for example, news about Israel. In my opinion, too often, the BBC takes a biased view against Israel. And they will support the enemies of Israel. And it doesn't matter how many rockets are fired by Hamas and Hezbollah and everybody else into Israel, Israel is always the evil aggressor. Because the BBC can be the biased broadcasting corporation at times. Or what about UTV News? Now, I love watching UTV News at 6 o'clock at night. But again, I am not stupid enough to believe everything that they tell me or the stories they cover. UTV is known by some as the untruthful televised venom. Untruthful televised venom. Because they often are viewed as slanting stories against one community in Northern Ireland to the cost of the other. Propaganda is widely used in every sphere of society, from news broadcasts to politics, from advertising to social media networks. Propaganda is used to make us believe what those who use it want us to believe. Do you understand? The purpose of propaganda or fake news is to make us believe what those who use it want us to believe. Propaganda makes us all extremely susceptible to it. When it's done very professionally, we are all easily sucked in by it. Too often the media and the press, they control how they want us to think and what they want us to know. Now you would say, don't talk nonsense, Terry, we wouldn't be that stupid. Would you not? Have you ever wondered why suicide bombers do what they do? This is just an extreme here. Have you ever questioned why do suicide bombers wrap themselves up in their belts and then go into churches or anything else and detonate bombs and blow themselves to pieces and try to kill as many people as possible as they do it? Why do they do that? Well, apart from, as we said last month, apart from believing Satan's lies, they believe fake news. They believe fake news are propaganda about festal virgins and the glories that await them as they commit these terrible acts. They believe fake news that when they blow themselves up, they're going to meet Muhammad and there's going to be all of these beautiful festal virgins there just waiting for them for all eternity to be their wives. Now you say, I wouldn't be sucked in by that. Would you not? You might think, you couldn't fool me like that. But I'm telling you, you're wrong. Nowadays, more people are becoming accepting of what was once unacceptable. Now, hear that again. More people these days are becoming accepting of what was once unacceptable. Even the Christian church is guilty of this. The Christian church in Bangor is guilty of this. Accepting sin and sinful lifestyles as if it's okay. Media, fake news, propaganda tries to get us all thinking the way they want us to think, and they call it multiculturalism, or they call it diversity, or inclusion, or equality. This is the media trying to get us to think the way they want us to think. And people believe their lies because they don't want to be viewed as sectarian, bigoted, xenophobic, homophobic, or whatever else. They will just believe the lies, and they will allow things that were once unacceptable to become acceptable in their thinking because they want to be loved by everyone. You're buying into fake news if you do that. Take the terrible, and I emphasize this tonight, the terrible, evil murder of the journalist Lara McKee as another example. Did you actually question what was that all about? Did you think about it? What was it all about? And I'm not talking about her murder. Her murder, as I said, was terrible. It was an evil murder. But did you question what it was all about? Did you question what was all the media frenzy all about? Now, by this I mean, how did Miss McKee's brutal murder lead to political leaders, including prime ministers of the United Kingdom and Ireland, secretaries of state, and other dignitaries attending her service in St. Anne's Cathedral? Has there not been hundreds of people murdered by the IRA and others during the Troubles, and yet many of them were not afforded such honour and recognition? What happened was the media went into overdrive and had everyone believing what they wanted them to believe, right up to politicians at the highest level, down to the ordinary people who lined the streets. The media had them believing what they wanted them to believe, and many, many people bought into it. The media propaganda presented Miss McKee like she was Ulster's Princess Diana. Like she was some sort of Irish angel of the north. She was a 29-year-old woman, someone's daughter, possibly sister, friend, outdoing her job, just like many RUC and UDR female officers killed doing their job, or female civilians from both communities killed during the Troubles. All of these murders were wrong, are wrong, and they cannot be justified. Now let me ask you, had it been a police officer who was killed in Londonderry, would there have been the same frenzy? Had it been a UDR woman, an RIR woman, would there have been the same frenzy? Would it have had the same impact on our prime ministers and Taoiseachs and all of these other people? If Lara McKee wasn't a journalist and a gay rights activist, it wouldn't have had the same impact. The media can make us think and believe what they want us to think and believe. One of their own was killed, and the media came together, and the media decided to present it in such a way that the whole country was led to believe their lies. Now, this is not, please understand, this is not taking away from the murder of that woman. She should never have been killed. But the media's had us believing a lie. I spoke to someone, and they were involved in the Troubles. And I asked them, what do you think about all of this Lara McKee thing? And they said, if that's what killing one journalist does, maybe we should kill one a month. Now, what does that say to you? I don't agree, obviously, I don't agree with that. But that was that person's view. That if one journalist can be murdered and bring together prime ministers and secretaries of state, how long were we waiting to hear about talks needing to take place to try to get our government back into position? And yet when that lady was killed and the journalists all came together with all of their news, suddenly we have word that the Secretary of State got off her backside and decided that we're going to have talks to try to get government established. Now, Mrs. McKee's murder has left a legacy, hopefully for good, in this country, that these talks will succeed and our government will be up and running again. But the media had us all believing what they wanted us to believe. And I'll say it again, if that had been a policeman, we would not have heard so much about it. We need to waken up to the propaganda age and learn to think for ourselves and check if things are true. As in the days of Jesus, when he forewarned about events to come, many people didn't believe the warnings, instead accepting the fake news of the day to their cost. And so people today must understand this world is broken. And it is full of lies, fake news. As the day of the Lord draws near, many are still believing the propaganda of the world. And they're the propaganda that they're told. And they are not heeding the warnings of Jesus to repent and be saved. And then you might say, well, how do we know what you're saying, Taddy? How do we know what you're preaching in Shiloh isn't fake news? You know, I would love people to question me about things like that. And I would love them to go and check out what it is that I'm saying. But don't question it if you're not going to do anything about it. Check for yourselves if what I am saying is true. Jesus gave his disciples foreknowledge about the destruction of Jerusalem, not to satisfy their curiosity, but to help them prepare for the terrible events to come. And I'm simply telling you that this world is broken. And fake news is making people believe that everything is okay, or it will be okay so long as we switch off our lights when not in use and put stuff in our blue bins. There is a judgment coming against sin. And the only escape is through faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus loves us, and Jesus died in our place to save us from sin and the coming judgment of God. And just as he forewarned his disciples, so he is forewarning us all tonight. What will you do? If there was a headline to be read in the newspapers, not that there will be, but if there was a headline to be read the day after judgment falls, it would probably read, "Many perish through unbelief." Many perish believing fake news. Do not be fooled by the media frenzy at times. Check out the truth for yourself. Do not be duped by the world and what it tells you. Search for the truth. God's word is truth. If you want to escape the judgment of God that is coming on this earth, and Jesus has forewarned us, the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus was a foreshadowing of something that is to come. And Jesus has forewarned us. He says, take heed. Take heed that no one deceive you. That's the fake news. That's the people who will tell you what they want you to think and what they want you to believe. Jesus says, take heed. Be not deceived. Confess your sin. Repent. Turn around from your sin. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would rather put my trust in the word of God than in the word of any journalist. Let's pray. Father, tonight people may be offended by what they have heard, but it's true that because of sin, Lord God, we are all susceptible to fake news. And multimedia, Lord God, companies and social networking companies and advertising, Lord God, political realms, all of them, Lord God, are so professional in dishing out propaganda, having us think what they want us to think and believe what they want us to believe. Lord, we ask you, please, protect us from fake news. And may we, Lord God, lose ourselves in your truth so that your truth would preserve us. May we take heed of the warning, Lord God, that there is a day of judgment coming. But Lord, thank you so much that you have provided a wonderful, wonderful means of escape for anyone who will believe, and that is in Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, thank you for Jesus, because we know, Lord God, that those who trust in him, not a hair of their head will perish, but we have everlasting life. Protect us from the lies and the deceit of Satan, from the lies and the deceit, Lord God, of the world, and help us to walk in your truth, believing your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.